الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. All praises to Allah, the creator of the universe, is the sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his righteous blessings be on the seal of his prophet, the last of his messengers and his holy progeny. And in particular, may his incessant blessings ever continue to flow on that tenth successor to the holy prophet, on Abu Hassan, Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi, salawatullahi wa sallam. All our praises and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be exalted. To have made it possible for us to meet once again, this time to discuss the life and the imamah of the 10th and 11th Imams alayhi wasalam. When we started this series, we were only praying that this day should come. And alhamdulillah, we have reached the stage in which we are now on the 10th and 11th Imams alayhi wasalam to study their imamah, so that we recognize our imams better, so that we know them. Because how can we accept their shafa'a? How can we say we belong to them and to their camp if we in the first place do not know them? It all ends in knowing them by merely knowing their name and no more. And hence I have always emphasized that these meetings are not historical meetings. They are not to set out the history of the imams alayhi wasalam. The purpose is to study the imamah, to know them better. Because it is that ma'rifah, that recognition of the imam alayhi wasalam, that brings us not only close to them, but more importantly, it brings us close to Allah, the exalted and mighty. Next year then, inshallah wa ta'ala, if we have another chance like this, we complete the series with the discussion on our current Imam alayhi salam. And the hope at the moment is that we spend all the time tonight discussing about him and his various facets of education. Because again, knowing him is of paramount importance. But we should leave that for the moment until next year, inshallah. So this year then, I propose to start, as always, with the agenda. The first 5 nights, I propose to discuss the imamah of the 10th Imam alayhi salam, and the remaining 5 nights, the imamah of the 11th Imam alayhi salam. I set out the agenda, as I said before, with the primary purpose of enabling you to make your suggestions. It is your time that I value. An hour that you spend here, you of course want it usefully spent. So let me know, as always, what are the matters you want me to discuss. To that end, I wish to set out my agenda so that you can then suggest your amendments. I am proposing tonight to start, as we have done with all the previous imams, because it is vital as a foundation for the study of the imam, proof that he really was an imam. It is not enough for us to say that Imam Hadi alayhi salam was an imam. The question is, what is it? And what is the proof? And we will go back to those criteria which we have set up in that respect, in determining whether he truly was an imam or not. And again, we shall touch on our sources and sources of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The proof of imamah, as we have seen before, lies also in the excellence of the imam alayhi salam. He is the representative of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and the Holy Prophet said that his prophethood, the essence of his prophethood, lies in his excellence. And so we need to discuss the excellence of the imam alayhi salam, because if any personality lacks the kind of excellence we see in the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, we refuse to recognize him as an imam. That is our ma'rifah of an imam alayhi salam. So we inshallah tomorrow night, if possible, we start with tonight, but we started late, but even then, if not tonight, tomorrow night, we discuss the excellence, the worthiness of the life of the personality, which signifies two things. One, it signifies his own nobility, and it signifies his own etiquette and akhlaq. Because without those, one cannot approach, one cannot get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is common sense. I said this as an introductory remark, so that tomorrow I know that to go back to it. This is common sense. Do we in our society accept a person without good etiquette and without good manners? We reject him outright, because the essence of humanhood is that code of conduct which raises his personality and raises his excellence. Various matters come into play, as you know. Generosity, charity, patience, courage, confidence, and we shall, inshallah, see how those are portrayed in the tenth Imam alayhi salam to establish beyond question his true imamah. But then we always say, whatever we say on one hand, we always on the other hand say that we do not recognize him as an imam who leads the kind of life we live. We want to see in an imam extraordinary qualities that we do not see in ordinary men. Because if we see those qualities in the ordinary men, we turn around and say, how is he superior to us? Why should we follow him? Why should we obey him out of the world? How can he be the representative of Allah if he is not able to do extraordinary things? And this is nothing new when we say this. We are not asking unfamiliar questions. We are not asking improper questions. We are not asking irrelevant questions. That is exactly what each prophet was asked. For example, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was asked, if you are truly, if you claim that you are truly, and Fir'aun asked him this in an open court, if you truly claim to be the prophet of Allah, show me a sign, show me some act that you can perform which I cannot perform, which all these people sitting here cannot perform. Well, those, and indeed, Nabi Musa alayhi salam was asked that repeatedly, and Quran says this. And the miracles, as they are called, the Mahjubah, of each of these prophets are set out in the Quran also as proof that they were representatives of Allah. That is, Allah has blessed them with that knowledge. That knowledge is not in the hands of the ordinary man. And it is not knowledge that you find in the books. Knowledge of a level at which he is able to perform acts which ordinarily do not make sense. You cannot see. For example, we have seen how the sun was made to rise again. How did that happen? We discussed that in 1999. It is when such signs are fulfilled by a personality that will begin to say, yes, he must be a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put in other words, a representative, in other words, a hujjah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to comply with that end, inshallah, on the third night, which will be the second night, we will discuss these extraordinary events that became top of the town, if you like, in the life of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. And there are floodlights in our books in respect of his achievements. Pray for the birds, inshallah, on Saturday night. I then wish to spend a night with you, discussing how he paved the way for the arrival of our Imam, ajjalallahu farajahu. Well, cardinal importance to us, the arrival of the first Imam alayhi salam, this is now the immediate grandfather. When we talk of the grandfather of the 12th Imam alayhi salam, we are talking of the Holy Prophet usually, peace be upon him and his progeny, but this is now the immediate grandfather. and what did he do to pave the way? He did a great deal. In fact, I have started on this subject from last year, if you remember, when we discussed the life of Imam Taqi alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam. We began to see how he paves the way for preparing the Qumran for the Khaybah of the Prophet Imam alayhi salam. Indeed, we first started talking about this when we discussed the life of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and how Imam Sadiq alayhi salam took the opportunity he had of appointing various rukala, various practices. That foundation having been laid was the Dalit, as we saw last year by the 9th Imam alayhi salam. This year we will see how it was further developed by the 10th Imam alayhi salam. Indeed, the 10th Imam alayhi salam gave the refinement. Not only the refinement, he gave it the administrative functions. How will this rukala function in day-to-day matters with regard to the believers, to the mu'mineen of the time, and of the times to come, like our time. Indeed, I hope we can see that the kind of life we lead today, the kind of spiritual administration we are in, is reminiscent of the kind of administration that the 10th Imam alayhi salam had set up. And indeed, this matter is of importance to the youth because their mind is driven to administration, to efficiency, to organization. Those three words you will see are very true and are loaded for the future in store, as it were, by the 10th Imam alayhi salam. I hope we discuss all that on Sunday night and see how he paved the way for the arrival of the Prophet Imam alayhi salam, because this is one of his great achievements, the 10th Imam alayhi salam. It is always my regret that I do not get enough opportunity to put forward to you the various teachings of the Imam alayhi salam. I will try also on Sunday night to put in some of the teachings of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, so that we get a glimpse of the vast knowledge that he has and the vast capacity he has of teaching. If not, then surely I will try to do some of that on Monday night. Monday night, inshallah, I'm hoping to devote that night to the political life of the Imam alayhi salam. How did he fare in the politics of the time? How did he cope with it? How did he meet it? And how did he ensure that his teaching, his insignia, his hijab of Allah, the glorified and exalted, stands through the last day despite the political machinations and maneuvers of the time? And ultimately, the great tribulations and trials that he had to go through, and how he went through them with the kind of dignity and the kind of nobility that we saw in his predecessors. We had occasion a couple of years back to see how the current Imam alayhi salam was in prison for years, and while he was in prison, he remained in prison with such dignity that those imprisoning him became subservient to his spirituality, and those sent to seduce him, to take him away from his worship, themselves became most ardent worshippers. This is the kind of experience that is repeated in respect of the 10th Imam alayhi salam. And inshallah, we shall examine those, and how the politicians sought to harass him, and yet the way he dealt with those harassments, this is unique with the 10th Imam alayhi salam. And it's a fantastic lesson, because that is happening to us today. And we can draw those lessons from the way the 10th Imam alayhi salam dealt with both persecutions and harassments. And yet, survived them all, not only triumphantly, but with great nobility and great dignity. And then, of course, live with his wafa. That is the pattern that I have laid, inshallah, for the 11th Imam alayhi salam, when we commence upon his birth, his study of the study of his Imam. I shall set out the agenda again. But as I said, this is the broad framework within which I propose to spend your 1 hour each night for the next 5 nights. And please let me know whether this is in conformity with your choice, or whether you would wish some amendments to be made in it. Well then, to come back to the primary question,
rabbi and imam.
Yes?
What are the criteria then of determining whether a person is an imam or not?
Indians are famous for questioning that. And they have questioned imam after imam, anybody who has come in. Because Indians have had the good fortune at, perhaps bad luck, but when you look at it, of having various impostors in this subcontinent. Somebody claimed to be Nabi Isa, and you rejected it. There are those who accepted it and have got huge places. The Ahmadiyyans, for example, are developing themselves on the basis of my very bad as a true religion. But you have had the opportunity to question them. A person comes down saying he is an imam, you question him from various angles. And if he cannot speak your language, you reject him. Because you say an imam should be able to do that very fluently, more fluently than anybody else speaking that language. And we have discussed that just around here. We discussed that in the life of the 8th Imam alayhi salam, and how he taught that to Abu Basir. Well, the three broad criteria that we have set out as taught by Sheikh Mufid alayhi rahmah, are these that he firstly and foremost should be a person more learned than anybody else in his time. And indeed, we have seen in respect of each Imam alayhi salam, and praise it repeated with Imam Hadi alayhi salam, that never was he asked a question. Never was he asked a question on any subject which he did not answer instantly. I hope I will go through more specific examples in the days to come. But today I wish to set out the general pattern. The reasons one hadith, even a false one, and I start with the negative, there is not even a false hadith concocted by any enemy of Imam Hadi alayhi salam to say it. And I hope I will leave with the enemies tonight, the Rakim for example. But not one false hadith to say that he was asked this question and he was not able to answer it in a satisfactory way, satisfying his question. And, but that heuristic emphasizing, and answer it immediately. When you ask me a question, I might well say, can I look it up and come back to you tomorrow? Or come back to you after a week? That never happened with those Imams alayhi salam. Nor did it happen with Imam Hadi alayhi salam. The answer was promptly given to the satisfaction of the questioner. Well, we saw that with Hazrat Amir alayhi salam. Particularly, he's sitting on the minbar and saying, Saluni, Saluni, Qabla an tasfaduni, ask me now before I disappear from amongst you. Well, that statement, which was put by the grandfather, was supposed to be acted upon by each successor. We say that if any person is not able to meet the standards of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam, he is not an imam. And they reject him forthwith. How tragic. Well, that is what was found true with Imam Hadi alayhi salam. I will come to more specific examples. I want to lay the broad pattern tonight. I will inshallah come to more specific examples. But that is what was found in his life. Not a question asked which he was not able to answer. Now, is this our research? And the answer is certainly not. And I will kick off straight away with the authority from Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah, leaving aside all Shiite sources. Because of property of time, I will not go into the Shiite sources, except on the question of his appointment as an imam, express appointment as an imam, but on the matters of his knowledge. Leading Sunnah sources have set out his life and have set out specific statement regarding the extent of his knowledge. For example, if there's a Bar Maliki, now he was a Maliki, and an eminent scholar, well accepted as authority word with Ahlul Sunnah al Jama'ah, he says in Husul al Muhimmah, he says that Imam Hadi alayhi salam in his life was perhaps the most learned of men. And there wasn't a scholar, we're not even talking about any human being, there wasn't a scholar
who was more learned than Imam Hadi alayhi salam. This is what Imam Ibn al-Maliki says. And then he sets out in also in Qusud al-Muhammah various details. He says, if you look at his personality, you remember the personality of the Holy Prophet. Reason. We say that is our criteria of determining whether the person is an Imam or not. When you look at him and you say, this is indeed the Holy Prophet. I haven't seen the Holy Prophet, you say. But when I read at his akhlaq and if I read at his personality, I see those are the qualities I see in this man. Essential that we should be able to search out before we accept someone else. And this is a testimonial that comes not from people of his faith, not from his followers, but it comes from those who is not even accepted at that point in time as a Hujjatullah. But they were prepared to say that when we look at him, we remember the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, because those qualities we saw permeating in him and excusing out of him. And then he says, when you see his knowledge, one finds that his knowledge was such that there wasn't a question you asked him to which he did not reply. Ibn Sabah al-Maliki in particular in his work, Contemplation Ayat of Quran, he says when you question about the fear of any particular verse, he was able to set out the absurdities with complete competence and in great detail. Well, then when he goes on and says, when you sit and judge him by his charity, by his devotion, by his worship, you find that there wasn't a person who was his contemporary who could exceed him in any of those qualities. Now you can see that these are the qualities we look for in a person before we accept him. Well, that is Ibn Sabah al-Maliki. But Ibn Hajar al-Makki, he, as you know, and we've discussed it again and again, has written the book Sarai al-Mahrika. Sarai al-Mahrika means the lightning that burns. And it is the lightning that was supposed to burn what? The heart of shears. That when the shears read that book, their heart should burn. In that book, he says that there wasn't a person in the lifetime of Imam Hadi alayhi salam superior to him either to Ilmihi or Ilmihi, either in his knowledge or in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot be an Imam, you cannot be a representative of Allah unless you are a worshiper of Allah. How can you teach the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can you spread the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are not devoted to Him yourself? And devoted to Him to the degree that makes you a true representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence we find that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam asks for something on the eve of Ashura from Umar ibn Sa'd, he says, give me a knife. I only ask for a knife when start the battle now. Perhaps it's tomorrow morning. When suddenly Rabbi, one Qaddis Uhu, said that I have time to worship Allah and to revere Him and supplicate Him. But when we look at this family, we do not see that merely with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You recently heard of how the two sons of Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam. You heard they were 9 years old, 10 years old, and they're Aris or Aris. If you want to kill us, do that. Kill us if you want to. Give us time to recite you, Rasulullah. That was always the teaching of that family, the Jewish. From the elders of the family that said, the elders will have to accept the Imam, not any person under the sun. And so Ibn Hajar al-Bakki says, there wasn't a person superior to him in that respect. And there is a long list of scholars of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah who have written in such vain for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, but to quote the last one, because he was the chief justice of Istanbul, and you can imagine a chief justice of Istanbul, he was a Shafi'i. In his book, Janabir al-Mawaddah, can really say that the world's presence in the lifetime of the Grand Imam alayhi salam superior to him in any respect. He goes that far. Whether it is secular matters or spiritual matters, if you discuss secular matters with him, there wasn't a person superior to him. If you discuss spiritual matters, if you look at his akhlaq, if you look at his knowledge, if you look at his devotion, there wasn't one sector of life in which anybody could excel him in any way. Well, this is Jamaluddin Mawaddah. That is the objective analysis, the objective picture of a personality before he can be recognized and accepted as an imam. When we come to the spirituality of it, we say, we do not accept anybody as an imam alayhi salam unless we are sure that he is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only an appointee of Allah who can be a representative of Allah, who can be a hujjah of Allah on earth. Nobody elected by us sinners. This is the important point for us. Nobody elected by us sinners, and who is a sinner like us, can even start claiming to represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because divinity can only be represented by purity. When there is impurity, it has no cohesion with divinity. And so we say, we will accept only those who fall in the category of إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْزَ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ وَلِيُطَهِّرَهُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. We say, short of that, we do not accept you, Allah. Well, How then do we determine? Because how do we know the path of a person? We know his progress, which is the first category I just discussed with you, where you look at the personality objectively. How can we determine subjectively whether his heart is pure or whether he is pretending? And we have seen many people who pretend to be nice people, put to death, you find them to be different. How do we know? That's true but now, because you can lead 30 years of your life as a thorough gentleman, and then you can change. So how are we sure? And our answer is quite simple. We say, we will only accept him to be a representative who, given these objective qualities, is also a person appointed by Allah, the glorified and exalted. So the next question is, well, we do not communicate directly with Allah, how do we know? When we say all Muslims accept that communication from or with or by Allah, the glorified and exalted, is only through, and this is vital, is only through the medium of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. He has the wahi. And when he has the wahi, Quran says he was loyal to it. He did not quibble with wahi at all. Whatever he said, وَلَا يَنْتَقُوا عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا رَحِيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Quran says he never ever anything of his own. He only conveyed that which Allah the world as an exalted asked him to convey. And we are in this day of age to our other Muslims, don't you accept that to be true? Would we accept the Holy Prophet to be a messenger of Allah if we found that even one? We don't want many more examples. But if we found that even one, not in a major matter, even in a minor matter, he disobeyed Allah, or he did not convert the command of Allah, or that Allah wished him to command, and we say no. The truth of it is Quran, when Quran says, Allah akmaltu lakum dinakum, wa akmaltu alaykum ni'mati, wa radita lakum al-Islam deena. When Allah himself says that I perfected your religion, I thou quickly completed it, and I am ready, I am pleased with the way Islam was received. It's proof that he is pleased with the way the Holy Prophet conveyed and presented Islam to us. That is the greatest medal, the greatest testimonial Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And when he received that verse, he says to Allah, now I'm ready to come back to you. Now I'm ready to come back to you. I fulfill my mission. I want to come back to you when you are ready with me. And that is the attitude we see with Imam Hussain alayhi salam. When he said at the last breath, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَعِنَّةُ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. All that soul, which is a contented one, returns to your Lord in a state in which you are pleased with him and he is pleased with you. That is the level of imamah that we look for. Well, if that is the state of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, his progeny, we say that is the person we are. We are him. When do we follow as an imam? Now, I will not consume your time because I had discussed this, although I discussed this immediately in 1996, about 10 years ago, but inshallah next year, I will go through this again in respect of the third imam alayhi salam. Well, we say, ask the Holy Prophet, and we have hadith which again are set out in Sunnah sources. And next year, inshallah, I shall remind you of those hadith, not conscious, of course, I will discuss them, all of them. But from Sunnah sources, I hope to be able to show to you that those ahadith are there that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, in his lifetime said that there will be 12 imams after me and gave the names of the imams. So, when we say Imam Hadi alayhi salam was imam, we go back to that list and we look at that list and say, what is the name you will have to thank imam? If we find the same word, accept it with the same thanks and we find it. That is time and power. Because it is what the Holy Prophet thinks we are going to do is the conclusive argument. And I'll discuss with you just a few seconds of reminder when we were discussing the level, the mercy level of the Prophet of the Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said to his daughter, discussing what will happen to the successors, he said, from your progeny there will be 12 imams. And the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, who will that be? Who will that be? And you must adopt this knowledge from Jibreel, and he takes out that tablet and gives the tablet to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, says Prophet, to the names, the 12 names of your grandsons. Who will be the Qudras of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will be the representative of the imams at the time to lead the Ummah. And that tablet has moved from imam to imam. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala, we mention him because these are his ways now, passes to Imam Zayd al-Adil alayhi salam and so on and so on. Remind you just of that incident which I discussed with you in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. When a companion of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam comes to him and says, Yabna Rasulullah, so and so is a close friend of mine, and he says he is convinced that Muhammad bin Ismail is the true representative of Allah on earth, the true successor to Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Well, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam turns around to him and says, this is the son of Zayd, of Hazrat Zayd. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam turns around and says, go and tell him to produce that tablet. Go and ask him to produce the tablet which the Holy Prophet gave to our grandmother, Fatima Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he will not be able to produce it. Because it is with me and not with him. It was from Abu Basir, you remember, the big process. So Abu Basir says, Yabna Rasulullah, you have brought it. And he says, yes. And Abu Basir, I will show it to you. And he stands up, Abu Basir says, Yabna Rasulullah, you always ask your servant to bring it. He says, no, this has been passed to us from the holy hands of my grandmother. My servant will not touch it. I will go and touch it myself. And he, you remember this hadith, we discussed it at length on that occasion. And he picks it up and shows it to Abu Basir and shows his name of Sadiq alayhi salam as the sixth imam of the age. And this hadith is reported in the books of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Next year, inshallah, I'll quote you a chapter and verse on that. And I can do so this year if you so wish. of Imam, likewise is the name of Imam Hadi alayhi salam. That is enough for us today. But was it enough for the people of that particular time? Would they have been completely satisfied with it? Of course, the qualities that we look for, these books that were written of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah contained ample proof. But the matter went further, because those who lived at that particular point in time wanted to be personally satisfied, because there was a similar raised by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And let me come back to Ghareer for that reason, because we cannot dissect ourselves from Ghareer. It is not possible to discuss the imam or any imam without discussing Ghareer. The Sunnah that the Holy Prophet, in his great wisdom, commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, laid words that when one representative of Allah is about to leave the earth, and the Holy Prophet had announced that I will soon depart from you, this is my last time, those who want to come with me can come with me, people went to Hazratan, this is just at the conclusion of that time. He had already announced that he had a few days to go. And his sunnah was that the moment you reach the stage at which you are to go, you make a public announcement to your followers of who your successor will be. Those golden words, man kuntu mawlahu. Those words, man kuntu mawlahu, apply to either the imam. Either of them is a beneficiary of those golden words. And so, if the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, does that, and he expects every successor to follow the Holy Prophet's life and Sunnah to the letter, then we expect that each of them will appoint their successors. And will appoint their successors in such a way that the appointment will be public to the followers, and the followers will not go astray. And we saw the gigantic work done by the seventh Imam, Imam Mustafa Dajjal, for the Lord of Allah. Having already discussed these matters in the past, it becomes easy for me to take your mind back to those events. How, despite the fact that he was in prison for all those years, he had the appointment of his successor made so vivid. And so did Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And Sheikh Mufid and Sheikh Tusi alayhim ar-Rahma say in their respective words, the matter with Imam Hadi alayhi salam is not as complex as of other Imams, because he has no competitor. Nobody could come forward and say, I am a successor to Imam Jawad alayhi salam, because Imam Jawad alayhi salam had one male son, and that was Imam Hadi, and so he became his successor. Of course, he became a successor at the age of 9 years. But that was no longer a problem, because as we discussed last year, Imam Jawad alayhi salam became an imam at the age of 9 years. And that question was resolved. He resolved it beyond doubt. He resolved it with his own companion, as we saw, with his own share. He resolved it in the court of Mahmud, when the Chief Justice is called to have a discussion with him. We went through all that, how he defeated the Chief Justice, made him look like a little child. When the Chief Justice thought he was a little child of 9 years, and he was able to show that he was a giant in the knowledge that he had. And that permutation, you remember, just to remind you, in a matter of seconds only, a lady is halal at dawn, becomes haram when the sun rises, during the morning, haram at that was his permutation on the spot. And the Chief Justice said, if I was born and lived many times a day and studied all my life, I would have to do the same for that question. Al-Jawad alayhi salam, his illustrious father, had already established beyond question that age is irrelevant. It is of no importance at all. And that in itself is proof that you are representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when he sent you as his representative, he blessed you with all that knowledge. And if that knowledge is lacking, you are not his representative. If Monkey appointed a representative, an agent, and that agent is not at the top of Group 1 key, which is what would you say? You will say, what kind of agent are you? It's not fitting that an agent who has built the city sky within the world, where would you send them?
So it is necessary that they should have the community they are out to propagate.
Hence, the imams are vested with that, with their community,
regardless of the age at which they are.
So there is no competition in that respect.
The knowledge was there.
The age no longer matters, because it has already been proved to be irrelevant.
And the people were prepared to accept now the age of the person.
Imam Bara alayhi salam.
May Allah ever thank the Lord that Imam Bara alayhi salam for his contribution. He was the person, you remember, when we discussed his life,
we laid the foundation.
Because he turned around and asked the people, how old was Nabi Isa alayhi salam when he made his first speech?
Just one child,
when he turned around and said, Inni Abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya, I am a messenger of Allah, he gave me a book and has made me book. How old was he then? He asked.
Age is irrelevant with representatives of Allah.
So, Imam Hadi alayhi salam, he was 9 years, was no longer important to his people.
They have seen ample evidence with Imam Jawad alayhi salam.
So, that must bring a hindrance to him, and there being no other competition, things were easier.
But,
shares being shares, they always want to be sure of what they are doing.
And this is a quality we have, and a quality which may Allah always keep in us.
Because that is what makes us sure of what we are doing.
And it is so important,
because this is an age in which we are harassed,
we are persecuted,
and we are persecuted from all quarters and all angles.
But we yet are able to remain on our faith because of those truths that we have,
because of that conviction we have of our faith based on groundless, solid arguments, based on Quran, based on proof, authentic hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And that, inshallah, Allah will keep vested in us to the last day, because times are going to become even more hard than they are today.
However,
the fears of that time also were undergoing that type of time. The upper side made life almost impossible for the fears of the time. And Hussein Mizran goes to Imam Jawad alayhi salam, when he was told the first time, you remember, to Baghdad, and Imam Jawad smiles. He says to Imam Jawad, you have been told by the Khalid, may Allah protect you from all harm.
But just in case, what we don't like should happen to you, does happen. Who do we follow?
And there is nothing new in this question.
Because you remember Salman asked the Holy Prophet that question.
Ya Rasulullah, whom do we follow after you?
Jabir asked that question, and
in Munadi Muhammad, this hadith is set out.
Jabir asked this question, and the Holy Prophet, and you know this,
remind you in matter of seconds without keeping you honest. He says to Jabir, Jabir asked who, and he says, the first imam mentioned the second and third imam.
And then Jabir remains quiet, and the Holy Prophet says, Jabir, you don't want to know more.
And Jabir says, I'm such an old man, Ya Rasulullah, I don't see myself surviving Hussein alayhi salam.
And he says, no, you will remain still longer.
Give my command to not be the first successor.
You remember that, hadith?
And Jabir says, your first successor, yes.
Use the name of Abbasir alayhi salam, and then the Holy Prophet.
You're not even the one that says
this. This is a sunnah.
And then the Holy Prophet says, are you satisfied with this?
And Jabir says, yes, Rasulullah.
And the Holy Prophet says, no, Jabir, you need to know these other names, because these other names will be useful to you in your power.
Mere knowledge of these names are a ta'weed by themselves.
And so the Holy Prophet gives Jabir all these names,
30 seconds, one after the other.
So those names are there for each to see.
But it is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet that these names be given.
So the shares go and ask, and Imam Jawad says, when his arm says, no, don't worry. I will come back from this trip and all will be well.
And he comes back, but when he is called again in the blood, and we correct him the second time, and we went through this last year.
The same thing that you have done, but again to him and said, Sayyidi, I've heard that the director of the sign has told you, and the Imam wept. The Imam wept and said, yes, and this time that which you fear will come true. And he says, then my Mawla, my Master, tell me whom do I follow after you? This is what concerns us. Whom do I follow after you?
Because we do not want to follow the wrong person. Because we do not want to follow the wrong person, and we want to be sure that the one we are following is the correct person.
And Imam Jawad alayhi salam points at Imam Hadi alayhi salam and says, follow him. It did not matter how old he then was, because Imam Jawad himself was that young when Imam Raga alayhi salam pointed at him, said, follow him. And indeed, this happened repeatedly. But the version I want to put before you is of Khair Ali, and we get this from the son from the father of Khair Ali. The son sends the report to us. He says, my father had communications with Imam Hadi alayhi salam. This is now in Baghdad, when Imam Hadi alayhi salam was already transferred from Medina to Baghdad, as I hope we shall live with by Monday night. So every dawn he would go to the house of Imam Hadi alayhi salam to find out how he passed evening. The Imam alayhi salam was under house arrest at that time. But some people were able to locate access, and he was one of them. And one morning, few mornings in the last days, he found that Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Isa also was there. He too was trying to make the same inquiries that Khair Ali was trying to make. And one morning, the messenger of the Imam alayhi salam comes to Khair Ali and whispers to him. Ahmad bin Muhammad tried to hear but was not able to hear, but there are certain parts he did hear. And the part he heard was that the Imam alayhi salam is sending you the message that he is now very unwell and will soon leave this earth. So those were now the last moments of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And he says, I have a special message for my followers that when I am not with them, that should follow my son, Abul Hassan Ali, that is Imam Hadi alayhi salam. When he heard this, he knew that the hour is close. Ahmad bin Muhammad, the Isa comes to him and says, what was the message? Because you were given the message, I was not given the message. And Khair Ali says, you should not give the message. I will not give you the message now. And he says, but I heard the message. And I know what you were told. The important, the first part, but the important bit, I have heard. And the advice Khair Ali then gives, you see how one shear speaks to another, immediately says to him, what you did was a sin. You overheard a quiet, confidential conversation between the messenger and myself, when I'm saying, when I suggest that you do not spy on other people, and this is what you have done. He says, yes, but I'm only concerned about my master. But the great thing is that when that happens, Khair Ali goes home and writes 10 letters to 10 patient companions of Imam Hadi alayhi salam, and sets out his complete conversation in that letter. Seals the letter, gives it to 10 different people. This is all to ensure that after Imam Jawad alayhi salam goes, they will not start following their own person, and the Imam they follow is the legitimate Imam of the time. But as he delivers the letter, he says, I do not know whether the message I have included in this envelope, I will be able to deliver myself or not. That fills the moment that the Imam alayhi salam says he is about to leave the earth. Will I survive him? Will I be able to live long enough to be able to say to the people who his successor should be? And even if I don't,
sell my son what to do with my property. I should not die without conveying this message of the Imam Islam that after me, follow my son Ali. You can see the importance that she has given to that message of the Imam as to who his successor should be. And hence we are able with certainty to say today that when we follow a person as an Imam, as a successor to the previous Imam, we do so with certitude that he is appointed by Allah, the glorified and exalted. So he says, I have given you these letters, so that in case I cannot convey this message to you, it is there. Do not open it so long as I am alive. Because I have conveyed the message myself. When the time comes, when the Imam alayhi salam, Imam Jawad alayhi salam leaves the earth, and the question now is, what will these faithful companions do? Whom will they follow? And he receives a letter from Muhammad bin al-Faraj, saying, O Khairani, you are more deserving than me to convene this meeting to decide who the successor of al-Jawad alayhi salam should be. But the way your house is situated is strategically bad, and you might all get caught. Where my house is situated, you say, look at the way the shears have to live. And the sky's got skills to make sure they have the right person whom they were following as a successor to the previous Imam. They are hats off to the shears of the time. Well, today it may be easy for us to determine who the true Sam Imam alayhi salam was. And Khairani says this is right, and he says he rode out on his horse to this meeting. When he gets to the meeting, about 30 people there, he says, who has got a letter like this? And about 10 people usually said, we all have letters, it's open. So they all opened the letters and read the letters. And they all said, we are prepared. We are prepared to follow what is contained in this letter. That we wish one more thing. And those are true shares. And you can see how the law is applied, the Sharia is applied by those shares, even in such critical moments when you have to determine who the successor of an Imam is. But a vital person, because follow the wrong Imam and you can land in hell. Follow the right Imam and he leads you to heaven. Well, they say, he says, what is it that you are dissatisfied with? And they turn around to him and say, O Khairani, we wish there was another person to support you. That rule of Sharia, that there must be two witnesses, there is a law, that there must be two witnesses to every point of testimony. That is the law. They were applying you at that point in time, and Khairani said, yes, I have another witness who will support what I say, and that is Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Isa. Ahmad bin Muhammad bin Isa stands up and says, no, I remain quiet. And you might wonder why this man is not prepared to help the shares of the time to determine who the true Imam was. He says, I remain quiet. Khairani says, you can't remain quiet. On such a critical issue, you cannot remain quiet. I say that you know the answer. You know that what I'm saying is the truth. Because the message that was conveyed to me was overheard by you. And you overheard not me, because that would be yourself. You overheard the messenger himself. And so, he still remains quiet. Khairani says, I put you to Abu Bahra. And this is just to us, Ahlul Bayt alayhi Muslim. I put you to Abu Bahra. Let us both seek the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the one who is telling the lie. I am telling the truth. If you are telling the truth, say out the truth. If you are telling the truth that you don't know, let the Abu Bahra be true. And the curse of Allah fall on the one of us who is a liar. And he stands up and says, I cannot take the Mubahala, because what Khairani says is true. I have exactly heard the messenger say to Khairani exact words that are in that letter. So you can see that the proof is so clear. It appears I still have time for one more short hadith. The Mawlana is here? Mawlana is already here. Oh well, I don't have the time for any more hadith, but we'll continue with this tomorrow or move into the excellence of the Imam alayhi salam. But what we have learned from the Imam alayhi salam is that when this night comes, the eve of the first of Muharram, it is a night on which they all brace themselves to remembering the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. They always looked at the moon, and having looked at the moon, they always stared at the moon and say, "What kind of message do you bring to us? What kind of message do you bring to us? You bring us the message of martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is the night we remember the departure of Imam alayhi salam from the Mizan, and what a painful occasion this must have been for the Imam alayhi salam to turn around and see his chit and chit being followed. You remember how difficult it was to let them go to fight in this kind of hour. Where we see, for example, Ali Muhammad being has the right is onto the right camera. He said to himself, "Ya Allah, I am taking this man not to refine for me to get the master or this man that killed." And then the Khatim follows, and what was happened to Imam Hussain alayhi salam when he sees the Khatim riding, standing his right, so that he too moves the head camera. And the eyes, when he has eyes, how would he have eyes? And the jail was a little too long. If I was at the left of that, would we find the head? So that we would have an answer to the head. Just to get the top of the time, we would have an answer. And they ran onto the government. What would you have to tell the answer to the sunset? Would you have seen? Now would you never see how I raised my head to the head of the head? Would you look for a person to help us all in need that is what is definitely happened? And that now upon that time when the Shastra was being taken to Kandala to Kusa to the head of the head and see you to maybe try to hold you all to the channel even when to try to the head of the head of the head when to your left she has to make a head. And when people said, "Let me not start to publish this, if you want to make happen," she said, "The society has left every man of men in Al-Qaram. All the men of men who have been there, and the men of men who have been there, and the men of men who have been there in Al-Qaram, and the men of men who have been there, when I must be there, we have to try to make it over there. The men of men who have been there, and the men of men who have been there, and the men of men who have been there, and the men of men who have been there, I am a man. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إلا لله وإلا إليه راجعون رحم الله من يحرم فاتحه